This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network, making Mount Rushmore, has made its triumphant return to our third episode. Howdy there. I'm Andy Atherton, your host slash moderator here tonight. We're glad to be back with our third turn at bat, so to speak. Give a little sports analogy, because I know the pop loves those kind of things on shows. Anyway, yeah, we're here tonight talking about NXT, that great promotion, the Black and Gold, that we all love, and we loved for them to keep their superstars and have put on tremendous matches and tremendous shows. So that we're going to do tonight. We're going to give our Mount Rushmores of NXT matches and NXT events, takeovers, what have you. And tonight I have three gentlemen to give their picks, break them down, and tell us why they love these matches and shows. First off, let's get in the Mud Pie, Logan Crosland. Logan, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing great, Andy. How you doing?
I'm great. Glad to have you back on the show. It's been a little bit for us.
It's been a bit since we've done one together, but glad to be back with you.
Yes, you're always a great guest on Mount Rushmore. My friend from across the pond, Ben Locke, is here as well.
Good evening, Andy. I think, is it a three-peat or a trimester? Is that what we're going for tonight?
Trifecta, how's that?
Trifecta, yeah, that's the bell. That'll do us. Yes, I'm very well. We're rocking along. I've had my tactical nap, and that's a little private joke between everybody. So I'm good to go.
Yes, we kind of frown on snoring here on Mount Rushmore, so hopefully we can avoid it tonight. rounding out our trio tonight of great panelists is Steve Riddle. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing good. Ready to talk some NXT.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, it's always great to talk NXT. We have a tremendous NXT pod right on this very network. We got, as Tim would say, PTBNXT here on the Place to Be Nation Wrestling Network. That is with Tim, Jenny, and Jacob. That drops, I think it's like a bi-monthly show, but check it out. But tonight, we're going to break down some great NXT matches. First off, though, Logan, give us your first selection of your Mount Rushmore of NXT matches.
So I was at this NXT. I was at TakeOver New Orleans, so I have two matches from there, but I'm going to start with probably the best match, one of the best matches I've ever seen live, and I'm going to go with Tommaso Ciampa versus Johnny Gargano from TakeOver New Orleans. Just a great match. It was a street fight. They went for about 45 minutes, if I remember correctly, and they just beat the ever-living shit out of each other. So it was super entertaining. I think Gargano finishes it off with the knee brace, kind of crossface. So it was just absolutely brutal. They beat each other from pillar to post. They went all around the arena and just, really, really gave it to each other. So it was a great street fight. And it wasn't the end of their feud, but if it had been the end, it would have been a great way to finish it. But they went on a little bit more from there. But that's one of the best matches I've ever seen live. But just a really strong output by those two guys.
Oh, yeah. Tremendous match. I remember watching that live. Those guys are just truly, they have the best chemistry. And believe it or not, it made Ben's list. Ben, talk about Gargano Ciampa from New Orleans.
Yeah, it made my list. You could make an argument that there could be three singles matches between these two. So basically, just because I didn't want to be the biggest Johnny Gargano mark you ever marked, I only put one Gargano single and one Gargano tag on, and this was the singles match that made it, like Logan says, they beat the shit out of each other all match. And there's that tremendous spot just at the end where they're basically sitting side by side in the middle of the ring, and Gargano almost lets Ciampa back in, but you think they're going to have a hug in the middle of the ring in the middle of the match, and it doesn't happen because Gargano is basically a bastard and a twat. So that's when the knee brace comes. it's just tremendous. It's, who says wrestling can't be Shakespeare?
Mm-hmm. Yep. And it was a clean sweep because Steve had on his list as well. Steve, give us your thoughts.
Yeah, just an amazing match. I mean, when Ciampa turned on Gargano the previous year in Chicago, and then he had to take some time off from injury, and then Gargano kind of went on his own way for a little bit, and then Ciampa came back at the beginning of the year, cost him the title and cost him his career for a little bit, and then they get finally to this point where Gargano is fighting to get back on NXT, and they just had a all-out war with each other. Just so much great stuff. And like the guy said, that call back at the very end where they're sitting in the ring, you think they're going to make up, and Ciampa tries to pull the fast one, but Gargano outsmarts him and uses the leg brace for the win. Just a amazing moment. And I mentioned this in the last episode when we talked about the heel turns, about how at that point in 2018, it seemed like NXT had some great shows and great matches, but it seemed like the one thing they were lacking at that point was a signature feud, and it was clear going forward that Gargano and Ciampa was going to become the signature feud for NXT, and it started with this match.
Yeah, you could probably say it would be the equivalent of maybe Raven Sandman, right, from ECW. Would you guys say that, the Gargano Ciampa? Would you say that it's something that goes over years and just is just such a great story? I don't know if you guys agree with that.
I think that's a very comparable statement to make. The only difference is, of course, Gargano won a couple of times.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think you're thinking Raven Dreamer there.
Sorry. What I say?
You said Raven Sandman.
I meant
which
Raven.
Which was a hot feud, too. But yeah, Raven Tommy Dreamer was the one you were thinking of.
Yes, apologies for that one. All right, Ben, give us another one of your selections.
Okay, I am going with the only NXT match that broke into my top 10 of my GWWE rating. And it's a match that could be on a lot of Mount Rushmore's coming up. It could be in a, best match of the last 10 years, most important match of the last 10 years, and the best women's match of all time. I am, of course, referring to Bayley versus Sasha Banks from NXT Brooklyn. We rewatched it a couple of weeks ago for the Special Relations podcast, and I called it a masterpiece at the time, and I call it that still now. Bayley on the tear of a lifetime in 2015. And people, and it's only took till now, I think, for people to realize how good she was. I think if you're asking people who watched NXT back in 2015, we knew how good she was. This match is 20 minutes. It doesn't feel like 20 minutes. It's a sprint. It feels like a sprint. And the other point I want to make, we all know in 2015, Stephanie McMahon invented women's wrestling, right?
yes.
Women's revolution and all that, that's just words. That's just words and corporate speak. What you need is actions, and in this case, you need a match literally to light the spark, and this is that match. It's flawless, it's amazing, it's brilliant. Like I say, it's one of the best matches of any genre, of any promotion from the last 10 years. That's how good I think it is.
Mm-hmm. All right. Steve, you had as well.
Yeah, just such a, like I said, important match, and a fantastic match too. I think if you ask a lot of people at that time when you were talking about the four horsewomen, I think a lot of people would put Bayley probably as the fourth one behind Charlotte, Sasha, and Becky, especially with the fact that those three got called up to the main roster and Bayley didn't. So I think this was just as important of a match for Bayley as it was for Sasha. And they told us such a great story of Bayley, fighting her way up, and Sasha was just at her absolute best at that moment. And they just went out and tore the house down there in Brooklyn. And I thought that was a great match to have in their first NXT outside of Full Sail. And it's just such a great moment and, great match, some great spots. They're, almost killing each other on some stuff. And then at the end there where Bayley wins, the huge pop she gets. And then when Charlotte and Becky came out and they had their little like mock curtain call there at the end, just such a great way to cap off that particular era of the women's division in NXT and kind of kickstarting the next era with Bayley as the head figure of that division.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And believe it or not, Logan had as well. Logan, your thoughts?
Yeah, a lot of what the fellas said. I mean, this is probably the greatest WWE women's match of all time, or if not, it's one of them for sure. But yeah, just a complete breakout moment for Bayley, kind of cemented her spot as, you know, to be taken seriously along with the other four horsewomen. But just an incredibly strong performance in front of that Brooklyn crowd. You know that they felt the pressure because Finn and Kevin Owens were going to have a ladder match after that, and it was probably going to be a banger. So they knew they had to come out and keep the fans excited, and they did exactly that, and they pulled out all the stops, and it was just an amazing match. And like I said, probably one of the best women's matches that the company's ever had, even to today. So yeah. Great stuff, and definitely had to be on there.
Oh, yeah. That without the one where Sasha came out and the Escalade and all that at the beginning, right?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so yeah, it from that moment, you're like, this is a huge match with her getting this entrance in front of that hot crowd in Brooklyn. Because I've been in that building. I mean, I was my first ever takeover was you guys, we'll talk about it later tonight, but I was or probably later this segment, but yeah, I was there, and that is some building. I grew up in New York my whole life, but it was the first time I was ever at a show in Brooklyn, and it was just insane. So I could just imagine what the crowd was like that night. All right, so Steve, give us another entry on your list.
All right, my first one is a match that when it was announced, a lot of people were very excited for, and I think they definitely delivered in spades, and that is Sami Zayn and Shinsuke Nakamura from TakeOver Dallas in 2016. You had all the big, you know, hoopla around Shinsuke coming into the company, and, you know, it was announced he was going to face Sami, who at that point was the original heart and soul of NXT before Johnny Gargano kind of took over that title. And they just went out and put on a fantastic match. So all the back and forth between the two, and just such great action. And in the end, you know, Sami does the right thing. He puts over Nakamura because Sami was on his way to the main roster, and Nakamura was going to kind of take over in NXT for him. And, you know, Sami gets a great send off from the crowd, and just such a great match. And it's kind of sad that, you know, a lot of people say that, you know, this was Shinsuke's, you know, his first match in WWE, and it was his best, and he's kind of gone downhill since, but that's up, you know, for another debate. But when you look at some of the greatest matches in NXT TakeOver history, that's definitely belongs up there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Ben, you had as an honorable mention.
Yeah, like Steve says, the Nakamura debate, that's for another time. I love the whole, like, the ships passing in the night feel of it. So, you know, like, it's Shinsuke's first match, it's Sami's last match in NXT, and it's just these two guys. It's not an exhibition. They do treat it like a fight, and obviously, you know, the crowd are treating it like a big deal. You know, even they don't know the Nakamura music or anything like that, but that pop he gets when he walks out is amazing. And yeah, it's just a fantastic match.
Mm-hmm. Logan, any thoughts to share on that match?
Yeah, this was probably my last cut. This would probably be my fifth head if there was four options. But just a fantastic match, and it's kind of like Ben said, like two ships passing in the night, like one last match, one first match. So yeah, just an incredible match. And like I said, it'd probably be the very next one if I could pick four, but just missed the cut.
All right. Logan, it's back to you, though, for another selection of your Mount Rushmore.
All right, so my first pick was the Johnny Gargano match, so this one's going to be one as well. This is probably a match Ben was referring to earlier, but I went with the 2 out of 3 falls tag title match between The Revival and DIY from TakeOver Toronto. Kind of like with the women's match we talked about, this is probably one of the best matches in company history, tag team-wise. But they just go all out and just, you know, wreck each other for about 30 minutes, I think, and just, you know, really, really take it to each other. Just a fantastic match, two great teams. And it was good to see DIY finally get the better of the Revival and get the tag belt. So, just awesome stuff. And I can watch that match anytime, any day.
Yeah, I remember that match, too. That was just, oh. Like, you were on the edge of your seat with all the close falls, and it was just masterful tag team wrestling storytelling. Ben, it was on your list, of course.
Yeah, Logan is spot on. It was exactly the match I was referring to. I will put my head on the chopping block even more, and I will say it is the greatest tag team match in WWF, WWE, NXT history, however you want to phrase it. I love and adore the way they build on the Brooklyn match. Like, you know, they even include the spot that finished the Brooklyn match with the inverted figure four on Johnny. And then the dual tapping out of Dawson and Dash is tremendous. And it's like Logan says, it's just 25 minutes of tag team brilliance. Because it's 2 out of 3 falls, you've got you've actually got 3 face and peril segments. That's how good it is. And they don't make it boring.
Steve, you had it as an honorable mention.
Yeah, this is probably like, this would be like number 5 for me. Just missed the top 4, but just like the guy said, one of the greatest tag matches in company history. I mean, you could argue it's up, you know, the only one that rivals it is probably the, in terms of like just two teams against each other, is the Edge Ray versus Kurt and Benoit from No Mercy 02. Great story. The Revival was just so amazing that in 2016 they were dominating the division, and DIY were the perfect foils for them, and such a great moment when DIY beat them and won the titles. So yeah, definitely belongs up there as well.
Yeah, all right, very good. All right, so we're back to Ben. Ben, give us your final pick on your Mount Rushmore.
We're agreeing far too much. This is brilliant. Okay, my number 4. We've mentioned him once already tonight, and it is Mr. Sami Zayn. I, though, have picked his match from TakeOver R Evolution with A1, Adrian Neville. That whole feud, the whole storyline of 2014 with Sami's Road to Redemption and him winning the NXT title. That's the first great storyline NXT have done. And I don't know if you guys have seen that match recently, but it's 25 minutes of just, it's a technical masterpiece. And again, it's a Shakespeare play in the middle of the ring where there's a spot where Sami gets the NXT title in his hand, and you can see the brain whirring, should I use it? And the crowd are like, no, don't use it. And this is one of those occasions where it being in Full Sail was perfect, because that crowd adored Sami Zayn. And then you get the whole bit afterwards as well with the celebration and then Owens, and then that kicks off that feud. And it's just brilliant, brilliant, brilliant stuff.
Yeah, it was, Steve, it was one of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, everything Ben said, just again, a great story for Sami to kind of, you know, you've been, you know, like I said, the heart and soul of NXT, even to that point in 2014, and Neville had an awesome run as champion, and, you know, it was the championship versus Sami's career on NXT, and you wondered if, you know, they were going to have Sami lose and, you know, Neville's reign continue, or Sami was going to finally cash in and become the champion, and they just have a great, great match. And like I said, that moment there when Sami wins and the place of Full Sail just erupts, and all the celebration, and then the kind of, you know, then the win gets taken out of everyone's sales when Kevin Owens turns on him. But yeah, fantastic match. Probably the first great, you know, if I don't know, I mean, we don't do star ratings, but I would have it as the first 5-star match in NXT history.
Yeah. Logan, you have anything to share on that? Any thoughts?
Nah, yeah, the storyline, like Ben said, is just awesome going into it. Just Sami being so desperate that he put his career on the line. So, and, you know, it was at the point where, you know, Sami could have easily gone up to the main roster. So you could see him losing and, you know, Neville kind of continuing his reign. So, but yeah, I haven't seen that match in a while, but I do remember it being very great, probably being one of the first really great NXT TakeOver matches. But yeah, the story and everything that went into it, kind of, you know, Sami being finally put the belt on him. So, yeah, that was a great moment and achievement for him. And the turn right after it made it even more emotional and even better in the long run. So, yeah, just strong stuff for sure.
All right, Steve, let's finish off your list.
All right, my number 4 is might be a interesting one to some people, but I still really enjoy the match. And actually, just to kind of quickly clarify, for those that remember, 2 years ago, I had done the top 25 TakeOver matches in NXT history, at least in my opinion, when we were on the heels of TakeOver 25. And this match I actually had at number 1, and that is Johnny Gargano and Adam Cole, 2 out of 3 falls for the NXT title from TakeOver New York. Of course, it was supposed to be the final chapter of the Gargano-Ciampa feud, but unfortunately Ciampa had injured his neck and was forced to relinquish the title, so Cole stepped in his place, and it became about can Adam Cole fulfill his what he thought was his destiny, become champion, or would Gargano finally reach the brass ring? And they just went out and had a really, really fun match, and you know, it's funny because at the beginning of the crowd's kind of siding with Cole, but then as the match goes on, they start turning towards Gargano, and Gargano just absolutely survives as much stuff as he can. I mean, Cole throws everything at him, all his finish, you know, his big moves. The Undisputed Era gets involved, and at the end, when Gargano finally gets him to tap and he wins the title, just such an amazing moment there. And he gets, you know, to share it with Candace at the end, and then Ciampa comes out and they eventually kind of reunite, putting an end to their feud. So, just such an amazing moment and one of the greatest moments in NXT history, and especially for Gargano.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was there for that, and it was just amazing. One of the greatest matches I've ever seen live. I mean, when we saw Undisputed Era come running out, we're like, oh, here comes the Shmaz. But these guys, really, they just put on quite a show. Again, it was like up there with the Revival DIY. You know, didn't know what was going to happen. Was Johnny finally going to win, or was he like just going to be like, again, like Tommy Dreamer, like never win the belt, you know, kind of thing. Logan, you have any thoughts on that match?
No, yeah, just an incredible match. I'm a huge Adam Cole fan, so this match had me on the edge of my seat the whole time because I kind of wanted my guy to finally win the title, even though I do like Gargano as well. But yeah, just a great match, and it was a great story, kind of giving Johnny the win that he deserved, and you know, he kind of made himself atop the NXT landscape at that point. Him and Ciampa kind of reuniting at the end, kind of mm-hmm. embracing, made it even, you know, a super emotional moment, even more emotional. So, you know, NXT knows a tug at the heartstrings, but just great stuff.
Yeah. Ben, have you any thoughts on that one?
Yeah, it's not quite, we're not quite in popcorn fart territory, Andy, but it should have very least been an honorable mention for me. I think the whole thing with the crowd is the fact that obviously, you know, we were right at the height of Adam Cole baby mania at that point. So I think, you know, I'm not saying he's all entrance, but that, you know, that entrance is always going to get the guy a face pop. And, you know, and hey, Andy, it's New York. What do you expect? But yeah, it's a tremendous match. And that bit at the end, and the thing I love about the bit at the end is when Johnny points behind him and goes, he's behind me, isn't he? So it's like, you know, so it's like the crowd have told him what's going to happen. But yeah, it's a great match capped with an even better moment at the end.
All right, Logan, let's finish off your list before we get to the rest of the honorable mentions.
Yeah, I got you. This is kind of a personal pick for me. We're going to go back to New Orleans. It's going to be the North American Championship match, the inaugural ladder match between Adam Cole, EC3. Killian Dane, Lars Sullivan, Ricochet, and the Velveteen Dream. This was Ricochet's debut, so everybody was just so excited to see what all the crazy kind of stuff he was going to do off the ladders. But all six of these guys just absolutely destroyed each other, just using the ladders, throwing people through them, throwing people, you know, up against them. And some of the stuff that Ricochet pulled out was just, like, I can't even describe. You know, it was just that amazing. Adam Cole ended up winning, so that was a big moment for me. And we got to do the baby like two or three times, so it was an amazing moment, kind of a personal pick for me because I'm a big ladder match guy, as Ben knows with my Jeff Hardy love. I love the high flying and all the destruction that the ladder match can bring. So that one always has a special place in my heart for sure.
All right. Steve, I believe it was one of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, just absolutely phenomenal match. You wondered, you know, when NXT was probably going to add another, like a mid-card title to go with the other three. And this was a great way to introduce this belt. You had six really good guys for it. Like I said, Ricochet just stood out, you know, immensely with some of the stuff he pulled out. But the Velveteen Dream also really established himself in this match as well with some of the stuff he did. And, you know, Sullivan and Dane played their roles as like the bruising, you know, Haas guys that served as the base. And then Cole and EC3 brought their good stuff as well. And I think, shock at the end. I think a lot of people were probably hoping Ricochet would win, but I thought Cole winning was a really good, great moment for him and to kind of kick off what would be a very good night for the Undisputed Era.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ben, do you have any thoughts to share on this match?
This match for me represents NXT's, like, it's a blessing and a curse because it, Ronnie, you can just tell, it didn't even make my honorable mention list, but that's only because NXT has so many amazing matches that you've got to leave things off, and this is one of them. It's the closest that Lars Sullivan is ever going to get to a Mount Rushmore list. So,
EC3 as well.
and probably Killian Dane too, so.
Yeah, they're probably Dane too, honestly, yeah. Yeah, I think this was actually EC3's debut too as well, so two debuts.
Yeah. But no, it's a fantastic match, fantastic ladder match. It's like Steve says, you've got that mix of guys and it works perfectly because you've got the big fellas, you've got, the likes of Ricochet and Velveteen Dream who'll just jump off anything, and then, Adam Cole is playing like a, Adam Cole's almost like a wily veteran in this, and yeah, it's just great.
All right, very good. All right, so that's going to finish off the list proper, but let's go through some honorable mentions. Ben, let's start with you. Any honorable mentions that we haven't talked about yet?
Okay, so I've got two that we haven't mentioned yet. Like I say, I could have done a whole list of Johnny Gargano matches. So the other singles match I put on my honorable mentions was his match against Andrade Cien Almas at Philadelphia. Again, just a tremendous, tremendous match. I don't know if the guys can remember it, but that double knee spot to the post is absolutely brutal and is one of my favorite spots in any match. If I was looking at my list, I would say that was like, if I had six spots, that would be number six for me.
Mm-hmm. All right.
We'll talk about that one. Sorry.
No, you could give your other one. It's okay.
Okay, the other one I had, as most of you know, I have a funny accent, and I'm going to pick a match between two men with funny accents, and that is from NXT TakeOver Chicago, the NXT UK title match between Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne. It also had JR on commentary just before JR became that cliche machine that we see on AEW nowadays, and just a tremendous strong style match. Pete Dunne, I can't say enough good things about him. He's just fantastic, But it's just a proper, strong style, brutal, hard-hitting affair. Love it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Steve, any honorable mentions that we haven't talked about?
I had one. I had Gargano and Almas and Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne on my honorable mentions as well. But the one I have that we haven't mentioned yet, I'm actually going to go across the pond to Ben's neck of the woods there to Cardiff, and that's Tyler Bate and Walter for the NXT UK Championship. A really, really awesome match. Walter, of course, had just ended Pete Dunne's long reign back in New York, and now he's facing the first ever UK champion. And considering the just the size difference between the two guys, you got Walter, who's just like this giant, and Tyler Bates is a small guy, and you're thinking there's no way Tyler Bates is going to be able to hang with him, and they just go out and have a phenomenal match, and Bate goes step for step with Walter, and there's a couple of times where you think Bates going to beat him, and Walter ends up retaining the end and just gives a solid, gets a great title defense and just continues to become the dominant force of NXT UK. So I thought that match deserves some recognition as well.
Alright, Logan, you have any honorable mentions that you'd like to that we haven't talked about?
I'll go off of Steve there with Walter. Walter and Pete Dunne from New York was just an incredible, hard hitting battle of two guys that just know how to beat the shit out of each other. One that just recently happened at WrestleMania time, Walter and Tommaso Ciampa. That was an amazing match. That's one of the more recent ones that was really incredible. Tommaso doesn't care about his body at all, so he just let Walter beat the crap out of him. He kind of threw himself into Walter anytime he could go. So any Walter match is definitely worthy of being an honorable mention. The rest of the Gargano Ciampa series, all their matches are great. The second Adam Cole Gargano match from TakeOver 25, I think is what it's called, the one in Bridgeport, that was an amazing match as well. So a lot of great stuff. There's really too many to mention because a lot of their stuff throughout the year has been really great. So, but yeah, those are just a few off the top of my head.
Yeah. Oh yeah. TakeOver 25 was fun. It wasn't up there with the New York one, but you know, getting to see be next to Gerasenio D'Amato when he was marking out when the Street Profits won the belts was quite the experience. It was fun. It was the fact that it was 5 minutes from my house instead of having to trace all the way to Brooklyn also made it great. But no, just hanging out with the great contingent. All right, so
Andy wanted the smoke.
Yes.
Imagine Johnny being a red cup kind of guy.
Oh yeah. Yeah, Johnny was having a ball. If you have never gone to see a live show with sitting next to Gerasenio D'Amato, I suggest you get that. Try to do that before you die because it is so much fun. All right, so that was our Mount Rushmore's of NXT matches. But when we come back, we'll talk about the top to bottom, the cards on the on the Mount Rushmore's of everybody's list with Logan Crosland, Ben Lock, and Steve Riddle. I am Andy Atherton. Making Mount Rushmore Wrestling Edition. We'll be right back. We got fists made of fire and a neck all red. We keep it dirty, dirty, gritty. Don't need your slick, don't need your slick. Keep it dirty, dirty, gritty. On my brow, so the people let them know that you're with me. We go hard, all day, all night. On my brow, so the people who be ready to fight. Say yeah. All right, PlayStation Wrestling Network, welcome back to Making Mount Rushmore, episode number 3. We're talking all things NXT tonight. We broke down the individual matches, which these gentlemen here, Logan Crosland, Ben Lock, and Steve Riddle, have put on their respective Mount Rushmores. But now we're going to talk about the entire card. We're going to talk about those NXT takeovers, WrestleMania, whatever they're called. They're usually called takeovers, but they're different things. And let's start with Steve Riddle. Steve, give us the first NXT TakeOver card on your Mount Rushmore.
All right, well, I'm going to go with probably the easiest one to talk about here. And that's, of course, we've mentioned it a couple times tonight, and that's TakeOver New Orleans. We, of course, went over the ladder match that opened the show. It was fantastic. And, of course, the main event, Gargano and Ciampa, which is just great. But let's not sleep on how good the rest of that show is, too. You got Shayna Baszler beginning pretty much her reign of terror as the women's champion, defeating Ember Moon in a pretty good match. You got that triple threat for the tag titles. You had the UE against the Authors of Pain and Pete Dunne and Roderick Strong. Of course, that match is best remembered for Strong turning on Dunne and becoming the fourth member of the Undisputed Era in a great moment. And, of course, that you also have Adam Cole pulling double duty in that match because he was in the ladder match to start on the show, and then he comes here to fill in for Bobby Fish, who was hurt, to team with O'Reilly. And then you have a really fun NXT title match between Aleister Black and Andrade Almas, where Black becomes the champion. So you got that, and then, of course, the other two matches I mentioned. So really just from top to bottom, probably the most – about as perfect of a takeover as you can get. The crowd was – red hot that whole night and just really kicked off what was a pretty good weekend of wrestling there.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ben, it was on your list as well.
Yeah, I think if you like I said in the first part, you know, these shows and matches sort of blend, it's a blessing and a curse because it blends all into one at times. But I honestly think, like, if you had to pick one show to be the best, quote unquote, the best, this is the one you go for. It's head and shoulders above everything else. Steve ran through the card, and there's not a bad match on this card. Even with the turn, it was a turn that everybody wanted, and the whole the UE celebration at the end is tremendous. And yeah, it's just brilliant. Just a brilliant show.
And of course, Logan was there, so it's on his list.
Yeah, as I said, this is probably my favorite show I've ever been to. Just top to bottom, it was great. You start hot with the ladder match, of course. Then you go to the women's match. It wasn't the best NXT women's title match of all time, but it was one of the stronger ones for sure. And then the tag title match with the Roderick Strong turn was also awesome, and that was a great match as well. And then the NXT title match is kind of slept on, I think, in the pantheon of NXT title matches as they go, because Aleister Black and Almas absolutely went out and had a great one, and they really tore the house down. And Johnny and Tommaso had to follow that, and they did it greatly for sure. And that unsanctioned match, like I was talking about earlier, was just an absolute bludgeon fest and just a great show, top to bottom. And like Ben said, there's no holes in it. It's just great all the way through.
All right, very good. All right, Ben, give us another entry on your list.
Okay, if that's the best takeover, I would say my first pick is the most important takeover, because I'm going with NXT Takeover Brooklyn. And the reason I say it's the most important is because if that show fails in an arena, I don't think we get like those big size arenas for NXT takeovers. We spoke about the women's match in the first part, and I would say, I would say that you had 50,000 people in that arena, and as good as that ladder match was for the title, the women's match was the real main event, and that's what they were there for. They had to bill it as a co-main event in the end. That's how strong people were feeling about it. But the rest of the card is like tremendous as well. You have, it's the one and only time you get Jushin Thunder Liger, Herb Coons Liger, in a match in WWE at this show when he faces Tyler Breeze. For the life of me, I'll never understand why Enzo and Kaz didn't win the tag titles here, because you're in Brooklyn, they're from New York, it's connect the dots. You also have, I would say, Baron Corbin's best match ever with Joe, and it's just a great show. Again, it's another show with no holes. The only real hole in it is a 5-minute squash for Apollo Crews. That's the only real squash. That's the only hole you could, if you had to pick one, that'd be it. But like I say, if that show fails, I don't think they do arenas.
Sorry about that. I was on mute. Couldn't get back to it. It was great. Steve, you also had on yours.
Yeah, like Ben said, this was definitely a big risk here for NXT to go away from Full Sail and into a regular arena, coming on the same weekend as a big show. And like you said, this fails, maybe they never leave Full Sail again, but fortunately it did. And, it's grown from there. Like we talked about, the women's title matches historically important, but the ladder match is really good. Like you said, Joe Corbin was pretty solid. Yeah, Apollo Crews' debut, Liger's only WWE appearance, and I know he mentioned about Enzo Cass, but I thought it was a good moment there for the Vaudevillains to win the tag titles. And considering that, freaking Blue Pants got one of the biggest pops of the night, it just tells you how great that crowd was. So definitely, like, it may not be the best takeover of all time, but like Ben said, definitely one of the most important.
Yeah. I think people were clamoring for NXT because it was so, like, you saw it on television, you're like, this is some great, these are really great matches. It's not, you could definitely tell it doesn't have the fingerprints of certain older gentlemen on them. And it's like, you guys probably all attest this. Everybody was dying to go to an NXT show. Like, what the hell am I going to be down in Orlando and have time to go to Full Sail? Really? Unless I live down there or plan to go down there for an extended period of time, I ain't going there probably. So, they had the goods and they brought it. And I think we were just as hungry though. Yeah. Logan, you have any thoughts to share on that card?
Yeah, I think it was kind of like this year's WrestleMania. Like, they were hungry. They knew that this was their opportunity to really put out there that they were the best wrestlers in the world. And a lot of them showed that off for sure. Like Ben said, this may not be the best takeover, but it's definitely one of the most important, if not the most important one, because this really propelled them into the next stratosphere of like being one of the best wrestling or wrestling promotions, brands, whatever you want to call it, it just in the world. So that, yeah, this really brought it all together and kind of pushed them to the forefront of the wrestling world for sure.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Logan, we'll actually stick with you. Give us another selection on your list.
All right, so this is one we've kind of mentioned before. We've mentioned a match from it. I'm going to go with NXT TakeOver Dallas. It had the Shinsuke Nakamura, Sami Zayn match that we talked about, kind of Sami's last match, Shinsuke's first match. It also had the beginning of Asuka's title reign that she would have for almost 2 or 3 years, I believe. And the opener was actually American Alpha taking the tag titles from the Revival, which is a really great match, great tag match between those guys. You know, the Revival always brought it, and American Alpha at that point was, you know, hotter than almost about anybody in the company for sure. It has the Austin Aries Barrett Corbin match that I don't really remember much of, but other than that, Balor and Joe have the main event, the NXT title. It was a great match. Like I said, Asuka becomes the women's champion, and then Shinsuke and Sami have a top five match of all time. NXT wise, so just a great show, and definitely deserved to be on this list for sure.
All right, Ben, it was one of your honorable mentions.
Yeah, it's just a great show. You know, it's one of those like tight two and a half hour shows. Like Lucas says, that tag title match is great. It's a personal favorite of mine. I love that. The women's title, don't sleep on that, because you know that like I say, Bayley was hotter than hot in 2015, and Oscar, it wasn't quite a squash, but you know, Bayley that night just was not on her level, and it was great. And that NXT title match shouldn't be slept on either. That made Joe and Bella had some really good chemistry together.
Mm-hmm. All right. Steve, any thoughts to share on NXT TakeOver Dallas?
Yeah, it's like the guy said, just a really good show. I mean, that like we already talked about Nak and Zayn, but yeah, the tag title match is really good. The Asuka Bayley is really good. The main event, you know, had it not been for them constantly having to stop for Joe's bleeding, definitely would have been really, really good. But as is, it's still a really good match. And then Aries and Corbin is, you know, solid. So yeah, definitely a very good show.
All right, Steve, we'll stick with you. They'll give us another entrant on your list.
All right, I'm going to go next with another really fantastic show in terms of a solid card, and that's TakeOver New York from 2019. We, of course, I already talked about the main event of that show, but the rest of that show is a lot of fun. You have the War Raiders against Aleister Black and Ricochet, which is just a great showcase for both teams, especially for Black and Ricochet because they were on their way to the main roster. You had Velveteen Dream and Matt Riddle for the North American title, which was a lot of fun. Great match for both guys, and you know, just some insane moves they were just pulling out. Walter Pete Dunne, just an absolute stiff fest for 26 minutes, and like we said, you know, that was where Walter ended Dunne's historic title reign. And even the four-way, Baszler, Belair, Shirai, and Sane is really good too. So just overall, one of the better shows that they've done, and might rank up there with New Orleans as one of the best takeovers of all time.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. That show respect at the end of the Viking Raiders, Aleister Black, Ricochet, was, oh, that really got the crowd pumping because, well, was that the opening match? I think it might have.
Yes, it was.
Yeah,
that just started off the night hot. And at the end, everybody knew, like, it's one of those things, like, you know, when somebody's going up to the main roster, like, you just have that feeling. And it's like the whole place just was like eating it up. And because these guys were just genuine and it was so great. Logan, it also made your list as well.
Yeah, I'd probably put this one number two behind New Orleans. This is probably my second favorite NXT TakeOver of all time. Like we've talked about earlier, the Cole Gargano match is great, 2 out of 3 falls. Steve said, the women's match isn't, you know, one of the top tier women's matches of all time, but it's still great. They kind of stacked the deck against Shayna to kind of make sure that she kind of didn't walk out with the belt. She still persevered somehow. And like we talked about earlier, Pete Dunne and Walter, just absolute stiff fest, and it ended Pete Dunne's record reign at the time, which Walter has now surpassed. So he's held it ever since that day. So, which is pretty incredible. Double Team Dream and Matt Riddle's great. Like y'all have been talking about, that opening tag is one that doesn't need to be slept on, but it isn't quite talked about as much as some of the other ones have been. So yeah, definitely just a great show. And that's one of the ones that I wish I could have been there, because I know it would have been a wild, amazing time.
Mm-hmm. Ben, any thoughts to share on this?
This is popcorn fart time, Andy.
Wouldn't be much Rushmore without with Ben without a popcorn fart.
what it does do is that I like one of the main strengths of NXT, just how well this show flowed. Like you say, you've got the opening tag match, and then you go straight into the North American match, and then the water match. They don't treat the women's match like a piss break match, but you know that Shane is not going to lose a title. So, but the entire flow of the show is tremendous. And just the talent level in NXT at this stage as well. Like kind of like you say, until certain older men get their hands on these people on the main roster, just how good was this promotion at this point? It's kind of scary, actually.
Yeah. All right. So Ben, we're up to you for another entry.
So after that popcorn fart, this I get the feeling this won't be near anybody's list, but I felt I needed to give Full Sail a bit of love, because if it wasn't for Full Sail, we would not have these arena shows we have now. So I'm going to put what I think is the best Full Sail takeover in my Mount Rushmore, which is Takeover R Evolution. We spoke about the Zayn Neville match at first part of the show, but don't sleep on that Charlotte Sasha Banks match as well. That's tremendous. As well as that, you get Hideo Itami and Finn Balor's debut against the Ascension. As well as that opening match where Kevin Owens just gets one of the biggest pops you'll ever get from that size of a crowd. They are totally in love with that guy. It's 2 hours. It's one of the. It's genuinely one of the easiest watches on there. I'll tell a quick story. So this was December 2014. We didn't get the network here until January 2015. And because of the buzz from this show, because I was reading Scott Keith a lot at this stage in the Blog of Doom, this was the first thing I went to watch because I was that excited about it. And it delivered in spades.
All right. Logan, any thoughts to share on Evolution?
Yeah, I definitely agree with Ben. I think this is definitely the best Full Sail NXT takeover, without a doubt. Yeah, Kevin Owens just absolutely squashed CJ Parker to open the show was awesome, because everybody hated CJ Parker at that point. But the main event where Sammy finally wins the title is an amazing moment. And like he said, the Charlotte Sasha match was great as well. And it was good to see Hideo Itami kind of have his first match with Finn. So that was definitely an important one for sure, and I definitely agree with Ben that this was probably the best Full Sail takeover for sure.
Mm-hmm. Steve, any thoughts to share?
Yeah, like I said, best, probably the best of the Full Sail takeovers. It's funny, we look back on those like 2014 takeovers and comparing them to like the last couple of years, it's like they feel so. It feels like a whole different NXT when you look at the roster that they had in 2014, 2015 compared to like 2018, 2019, 2020. And it's just such a, it just speaks to the level of talent that NXT has had of these last nearly 10 years. So definitely a kind of a sleeper pick, I think, when you're talking about the best takeovers in history.
All right. Logan. Let's finish off your list. It's like, no, I ain't going. I'm not finishing my list. I'm going to stay here all night.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. We all done. I did earlier.
But I was looking through the cards. I was kind of struggling on this last one, but I was looking at the cards throughout the years, just kind of seeing how the show's kind of stacked up. And one really struck my eye, and it reminded me how great this show actually was at the time. But I'm going to go with NXT TakeOver Portland. It was kind of wedged in between the Royal Rumble TakeOver and the WrestleMania TakeOver. So everybody kind of thought this was just going to be a placeholder type of show, so nobody really knew what they were going to kind of try to pull out here. But they had a great opener with Keith Lee and now T-Bar, but then Dominik Dijakovic. But a great opener for the NXT North American title between those two guys. Dakota Kai and Tegan Knox kind of finished their feud. And that's actually where Raquel Gonzalez debuted in a street fight, kind of helped Dakota win. Finn Balor beat Johnny Gargano. Rhea Ripley and Bianca Belair had an NXT women's title match that was great. Kind of, you know, the two futures of the women's division going up against each other for the first time. The Broserweights won the tag team titles from the Undisputed Era. That was an amazing match as well. That's when they came out, I believe they came out on like a golf cart. And that's when they did the like Bobby Fish song. So that was always a great moment and a great win for those two guys. And then they finished the night off with Adam Cole versus Tommaso Ciampa. And I don't need to say it again, but anytime those two guys, or either of those two guys, no matter who they face, get in the ring, it's usually a pretty solid and amazing match. So just a top to bottom great card, and it's one that I really, really would like to go back and watch again. But and it is an amazing card for sure.
All right, Ben, it made your list as well.
I went through kind of the same process as Logan. Like I was struggling for a bit to find, and then I just remember all these. I saw this card, and then all the memories just came flooding back to me. So, you know, Keith Lee and Dominik Dijakovic had this crazy mad chemistry. You know, them two shouldn't work as a combination, but they just do every time. And you know, yeah, that spot where with Lee on the chair and Dijakovic comes flying off at him, you know, things like that. Big men that size should be doing things like that. Dakota Kai and Tegan Knox is a great little street fight. If you haven't seen that for a while, you know, like Logan says, Gonzalez makes a debut there. Balor Gargano match, that's just a war between them two. This was the first singles match where I felt like Bianca Belair was going to be something. They'd obviously had her appearance in the Rumble the month before, but this is the first time when you saw her in a singles match and you thought, yeah, she's got something here. She's got something here. She's going to be good. The Broserweight match, like Logan says, it's more remembered for the golf cart and the rhyme, which I'm not going to attempt now because I'm not Matt Riddle and I can't do it with his delivery. And yeah, anytime you get Cole and Ciampa in a ring together, I'm there for that. But yeah, this show was fantastic. And I think, I'm pretty sure it's the last time we had a proper takeover. So that's probably another reason why it's so, you know, warmly received and warmly remembered.
All right. Steve, any thoughts on this card?
Yeah, this one I kind of glossed over a bit, but looking back on it now, yeah, it was a tremendous card. I mean, yeah, like you said, the opener's great. Kai and Knox had a really fun fight. Balor Gargano's just, like they said, a war just between those two. Ripley Belair was a really fun match, kind of showing the future of the women's division. And that tag title match, you know, I think kind of gets forgotten about. It was a fantastic match and kind of one of the more forgotten tag team matches of the last few years. And then, you know, Cole and Ciampa have a really fun fight with a kind of a little shocking ending where it's Gargano turning heel on Ciampa to cost him the title. So, and yeah, like it was said, kind of the last of the takeovers as we remember them before the pandemic hit. So yeah, great pick.
Mm-hmm. All right, Steve, let's finish off your list.
All right, my last one is another show that I don't think it's talked about enough because it was right before New Orleans, and obviously that since that show was so great, I think this show kind of got forgotten about, but this is a really fun show too, and that's Philadelphia from January of 2018. We talked briefly about the main event with Almas and Gargano, how great of a match that was, but there's some really good stuff on here. You had Aleister Black and Adam Cole had a really great Extreme Rules match, kind of showcasing both of those guys. Excuse me. Ember Moon and Shayna Baszler had a really good match for the women's title and kind of a shock ending there. I think everyone expected Baszler to win the title there. Instead, Moon kind of shocked her and kept that issue going. Opener between the Undisputed Era and the Authors of Pain was really good, where the Undisputed Era began their run throughout 2018. And even Velveteen Dream and Cassius Ohno was a pretty decent match to give Dream a solid win. And again, the crowd for that match, for that show, was just absolutely on fire, especially for the main event, as they were solidly behind Gargano and really wanted him to kind of pull off a a Rocky Balboa-esque win there against Almas. So I thought that Philadelphia definitely deserves some props.
Mm-hmm. All right. Logan, any thoughts on Philly?
I definitely agree with Steve and the fact that I think it kind of gets forgotten because it's before the one before probably the greatest one of all time. So, but yeah, it's a really strong card. That Andrade Gargano match is just fantastic. It's one of the best NXT title matches they've ever had. And the Extreme Rules match between Aleister Black and Adam Cole is almost just as good, but not quite as good as that main event. But it's a very strong match for sure. They kind of use weapons and just beat the crap out of each other for the whole match. It's great stuff. But yeah, the whole card is awesome. It was probably one of those first ones that I had to cut, but definitely a strong card for sure.
Ben, any thoughts you want to add?
Yeah, great card, like the boys said, and that Cole and Black match is just tremendous, and it's forgotten about because of the main event, but you know, don't sleep on that match because that match is 4.5 stars easy. It's just great.
All right, so honorable mention time. Steve, give us some honorable mentions that we haven't talked about.
All right, the first one I have is one that's a personal one for me, and that's TakeOver Phoenix. And because that was actually my first TakeOver, that whole weekend for me was just so much fun with TakeOver, the Rumble, Raw, SmackDown, and the Access going on. But I think the show as a whole is actually really good. The War Raiders and Undisputed Era is a really fun tag match and a great win there for the War Raiders, ending the era's long reign as champs. Matt Riddle and Cassius Ohno was a decent little match there. Gargano and Ricochet was just an absolutely phenomenal match, one of the best live matches I had ever seen. Shayna Baszler and Bianca Belair had a really good match for the women's title. Then the main event with Ciampa and Black for the NXT title, I thought, was just absolutely really good. It's just such a fun night, one that I'll always remember. I also have the first Chicago show from, what year was that? That was 2017. We talked about Tyler Bate and Pete Dunne having their great match, but the tag title ladder match between the Authors of Pain and DIY was phenomenal. Again, kind of, just really showed how dominant the Authors of Pain were. And of course, that was the breakup of DIY. Bobby Roode and Hideo Itami had a really solid title match for the NXT title that I don't think it's talked about enough. Asuka, Nikki Cross, and Ruby Riott had a really good triple threat for the women's title. And then the opener was a pretty good match there with Roderick Strong and Eric Young. So another card I don't think it's talked about enough, but one you definitely shouldn't sleep on. I also had two of the War Games shows at 2018 and 2019. 2018 was just a really fun show. That War Games, the UE versus Dunn, Ricochet, and the War Raiders might be the best one they've done. So much great stuff in there, including that insane dive from Ricochet off the top of the cage onto everybody. Ciampa and Velveteen Dream had a really fun NXT title match that was a good showcase for both guys. Aleister Black, Jack Gargano had a really stiff, fun match. Baszler and Sane had their good 2 out of 3 falls match where Baszler retained the women's title and kind of, again, continued her run of dominance. And, then you had the brief, the 6-second squash of Cassius Ohno at the hands of Matt Riddle. But another kind of, really good card. And then you get to 2019 where you had the first women's War Games match. They went all out and had some really good shots in there. And of course, that's where Dakota Kai turned heel on Tegan Nox. And it was pretty much a handicap match. Ripley and Candice against Baszler, Belair, Shirai, and Kaylee Ray. And they end up winning. And then, of course, the main event, a War Games match with Ciampa's team against the Undisputed Era. Just so much great stuff. Kevin Owens gets a huge pop as he comes out as the mystery partner. And they just have an all-out war. And some other good matches on there, too. Balor and Riddle had a really good match. And then the triple threat with Pete Dunne, Damian Priest, and Killian Dane was a fun Haas fight between those guys. And then I had two more really quick here. I had the first Toronto from 2016 that had the DIY revival 2 out of 3 falls we talked about. Joe and Nakamura was a pretty good match, really good match for the NXT title. Asuka defeated Mickie James in a really fun match. That was James's return to WWE after being gone for almost 6 years. The Authors of Pain defeated won the Dusty Rhodes Classic, defeating TM61 in a really good match. And then Bobby Roode and Ty Dillinger had a really fun opener for really good showcase for both guys, and definitely one of Dillinger's best matches of his career, and a good showcase there for Bobby Roode. And then the last one that I had was Brooklyn 4 from 2018. That had the 2 out of 3 the last man standing between Ciampa and Gargano for the NXT title. Really fun match. Really just vicious war. Ricochet and Cole had a really fun match for the North American title. That's where Ricochet won the belt. Kairi Sane and Shayna Baszler had a good match. That's where Sane kind of pulled the upset and defeated Baszler when I think a lot of people didn't expect it. And another tag match that I don't think gets nearly talked about enough, the Undisputed Era and Mustache Mountain had a really great match. It wasn't up to their match they had on TV, where Yui won the titles back from Mustache Mountain, but still fantastic match. And then Velveteen Dream and EC3 had a pretty solid match. So I think those shows are ones that you shouldn't sleep on in terms of how great those cards are.
Mm-hmm. All right. Ben, any honorable mentions?
I'll just mention one. For similar reasons for what the other guys went, I'm going to mention the one that I was there for, which is NXT TakeOver London. I'll be honest, it's not the... It's nowhere near the level of some of the other shows we talked about tonight, but it's like a personal favorite of mine. You've got Oscar, the first match, Oscar with Emma. That just goes through like the, you know, NXT was going to survive quite well without the four horsewomen and even without Bayley because Oscar was around and, you know, she's going to kick ass basically. Dash and Dawson, as they were then, they weren't quite the revival, but they beat Kaz and Enzo. Anytime you can get a chance for a wrestler to the tune of Hey Jude, that's what kind of crowd you're dealing with that night. So, you know, hey, nah, 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 big cast. We were really original back then. You know, Corbin and Cruz, Bailey and Nia Jax, though, that was a great match again. You know, they got the whole Vader Sting dynamic down well, and we can be blamed for the Hey Bailey song. That was our fault as well. Sorry about that. And like we said earlier on, Balor and Joe in the main event had tremendous chemistry yet again. And that was the Joe the Ripper entrance, if you remember that. And it was just a tremendous show. Loved it.
And Logan, any honorable mentions that we haven't mentioned or any thoughts you want to give?
Just the two that jumped to my mind are kind of two that Steve had mentioned already. The two War Games shows back to back, 18 and 19, were just incredibly strong shows. Great. I love the War Games matches that they pulled out. Some people might think they're overindulgent. Oh, Sean Kidd.
almost got to the end of the show without somebody thinking of Sean. God.
Well, it is an NXT plot, so I had to throw an overindulgent in there. But no, those War Games matches that Steve mentioned are all great, and I do think both of those events are really strong. They both have really strong cards, but those are the two that really come to mind that I want to throw out there once again.
All right, very good. All right, so that's going to bring an end to our show. But before we go, let's talk about what, you know, pods you guys have, social media presence, where you want to direct people to. So we'll start with Logan. What do you got for us?
I'm at Highway PTBN on Twitter. We have Highway to the Impact Zone on this wrestling feed. We just recorded Chicken Salad. We did a live watch of Great American Bash 1999. It was, let's just say the call was a little bit more fun than watching the show. So, but yeah, that was definitely a good time as always. We have a popcorn chicken salad we're going to record later this week. We've got me, Sean, Jake, and Scott Shiplett will be recording the next episode of YouTube Roulette. So that'll be a fun pod to record for sure because Scott picked some doozies for us. So I'm looking forward to doing the second episode of that. But that's about all I got going on right now.
All right. Ben, what do you got?
So we've got Special Relations is out there. Our newest version of that is dropped. And like Logan says, we recorded Chicken Salad, which was a very special live watching edition because it was our first anniversary. So we thought we had to bring the big guns out for that. Listen to a live watch where one of the people, me, doesn't have access to the internet and is just watching on Daily Motion through his phone. It's quite an illuminating experience, Andy, let me tell you. like Logan says, we've also got the newest edition of chicken popcorn chicken salad on here on the pop feed, dropping in a couple of weeks. We're recording that this weekend. We're going to be watching Top Gun, and there's a vicious rumor that there's going to be a recording of Telly and Teeth. So me and Miranda, even though there's only 1 hour difference between us, she's a damn difficult woman to get hold of sometimes. So yeah, that's what's coming up.
I know, trust me. I do two shows with her, so it's not the easiest. But you know, she makes it work. And I know it's confusing when I'm hosting a wrestling show and you're like, wait, which side of the hall are we on? I do.
You call Jeffrey, you Andy.
Yeah, I am.
You get into the flow, Andy, and then you just forget things.
Yeah, believe me. All right, Steve, what do you got to plug?
Well, speaking of Miranda, of course, you, me, and her do Pop Goes the Classics. Our most recent episode dropped earlier this month on The Jungle Book. That was a lot of fun. So our next one will come next month, which will be on The Aristocats. So the 70s for Disney, very interesting time, and I'm looking forward to getting back into those films. Other than that, you know, placebnation.com. I have my usual accoutrement of articles over there, Vintage Vault previewing, the box office report, my entire catalog of the wonderful reviews of Disney, and my wonderful list of Disney, which are still ongoing as of this moment. Other than that, you can find me over on the Facebook page for Place to Be Nation. Lots of great discussions going on over there, so that's usually where you can find me.
All right. And as for me, here on the Wrestling Network, I have this show, and I also do a wrestling version of Great Debate, which should be coming back soon, as well as I'm going to, damn it, get that recording with Callum to do next episode of Evolution, that we're talking about HBK, Shawn Michaels. So we will make it happen over across the hall on my regular home, the PlayStation Pop Experience. Lots of shows. Blockbuster Rewind, PTBN Trivia Night is wrapping up, so we're going to crown a champion very soon on that show. Very, very excited about that. Plus, I have other shows like Steve said, you know, Pop Goes the Classics Disney. Also, I have the Most Sensational, Inspirational, Celebrational, Muppetational podcast with Miranda that drops monthly. Laughing Theater, you should see that about monthly. Year in Pop is coming back very soon with first time in our history we have different guests. That's right. Dr. G and D'Amato have bowed out gracefully and said F to the 90s, and we have two brand new guests, so you'll know who they are when the show drops. So, for Logan Croslin, Ben Locke, Steve Rill, I am Andy Atherton. Thank you for joining us on Making Mount Rushmore Wrestling here on the PlayStation Wrestling Network. We'll check you out next month in our next episode. Take care.